Thanks for listening to the Susie Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my guest today writes this, and I've read this quote on the show before. I love it so much. There's no doubt about it. We live in a dangerous world. But instead of motivating Christians in the West to action, today's headlines appear to be paralyzing us. We were never called to live in fear. Even though the times we're living in are frightening, we are right on course with the very plan of God for this world. Things are not falling apart. They're falling into place. Our friends Tom and Joanne Doyle join me today to offer us a faith perspective from the Middle East. And we're going to talk today, at least kick off the show today, talking about Iran. What is going on over there? They say a revolution is continuing now into 100 cities. So what is happening on the ground, and how is God moving in their midst, and how can we pray for believers in the Middle East? We'll talk about those things and more. We always welcome your questions. You can text them in to 877-933-2484. So excited to give away four copies of Tom and Joanne's book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. All of their books read like fast-paced novels. You have to remind yourself to breathe. These are true stories, but they're so fast-paced and so intense. Ways that God is moving, they'll blow you away. And this book, I believe, was nominated, maybe even won an award. But we've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Just a quick announcement. If you've not downloaded our free app, you really might want to do that, especially during the winter months. If you listen on the radio, in certain places, our signal goes down. We have to power down in the winter months, and that may impact the quality of the signal. So if you want to get us loud and clear, you can get us on the app. Go to the App Store, look for Faith Radio Network. You'll find it there. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Tom Doyle is president and founder of Uncharted Ministries, an accomplished author, popular international speaker, pastor, minister to the unreached, and veteran tour guide in Israel and the Middle East. His book, Standing in the Fire, was a finalist for the ECPA Book of the Year in 2018. Joanne is founder of Not Forgotten, the women's ministry division of Uncharted. She's also a popular international speaker, a voice for women in the Middle East, and the host of Flourish, a Christian woman's satellite TV program that broadcasts into Iran. It's just amazing what God has allowed you guys to do. Tom and Joanne, welcome back to the show.
Well, great to be here, Susie. Thank you.
Yes, it is. It's always a delight to be with you, Susie. You're one of our favorite people to talk with.
Well, you are some of our favorites as well, and I marvel with the way that God works in and through you and that winsome, joyful spirit that you do it with. It's so precious. So before we get an update from the Middle East, we always love to make it personal. So, Joanne, I'll start with you. What's the Lord been impressing upon your heart these days?
Oh, I love that question. Well, you know, I'm probably like so many of you listening, one of the things I love to do during this Advent season, even though Christmas is over and the new year has begun, I am still savoring the Christmas story. And I have just been reading through Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 1. And each year when I go through these stories, I ask the Lord, you know, teach me something new. God's always got something fresh in the scripture for us. And so teach me through the lives of the people that were part of that first nativity. And so many things struck me. But Susie, what really hit me this year was reading in Matthew 1. And if you remember, the wise men come and they ask Herod, you know, where is this Savior supposed to be born, the King of the Jews? And so Herod has to go to the priests and the scribes and say, hey, where's this Messiah person? Where is he supposed to be born? And so they tell him in Bethlehem. And so, of course, the wise men go and they worship baby Jesus. Before they lay their gifts down, they worship him. But then Herod is so mad when he learns that he's been tricked, and the wise men go a different way home and they don't come back and tell him where Jesus is. And so what does Herod do is in his rage, he kills every single one of the little boys that are 2 years old and younger. And that just struck me in a new way. You know, here God has called Tom and I and Uncharted to work in the Middle East. And we have seen many former Muslims lose their life for the cost of Christ, you know, martyrs for Jesus. But these baby infant boys, they were the very first martyrs for Christ.
Wow.
And I had never thought about that before, and it just struck my heart in such a profound way. You know, and Susie, we need to step into the story of Scripture to really understand something. So, you know, we have 15 grandkids, actually 14 and one on the way. And I went and I looked at, okay, so how many are two and younger? We have 7 grandkids that are 2 years old and younger.
Wow.
So we would have been living in Bethlehem during that time. We would have lost 7 of our grandchildren. And then that story takes on a whole new meaning. And then living in Bethlehem, a teeny tiny town, gosh, what about the neighbors and the family friends that also lost little baby boys? And the grieving that took place and the mourning, but those baby boys were the first martyrs for Christ. You know, their lives were lost so that Jesus could live. And Jesus
wow.
needed to live, and he needed to grow up and live that perfect life. And then one day he would die on the cross to, you know, forgive us for our sins and be resurrected and all of that. But first, he needed to live. And so one day all of us are going to step into heaven, and we are going to meet those baby boys that were martyred for Christ, the very first martyrs for Jesus. So
wow.
that is just, I keep thinking about that. That has just really struck my heart in a fresh way.
Mm. Wow. Talk about a fresh way to look at Scripture. Thank you for that, Joanne. And Tom, how about you? What's the Lord been impressing upon your heart?
Well, you know, I have a psalm each year, and this year God directed me to two of them. And one is in Psalm 48, and it's the sons of Korah. And if you remember Korah's rebellion, they rebelled against Moses, and all of the family line except a few were wiped out. But in an incredible turnaround, these men and women from that family are not only accepted back into Israel, they end up writing Scripture that's canonized for us today. And so Psalm 48, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. And then he takes you on a visual walk through the city of Jerusalem. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. And I'll count her, what does it say? Count, view her citadels that you may tell up to the next generation, consider well her ramparts. But then this, it just hits me so powerfully. The writer says, son of Korah, within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. That's where he wants us to be centered, looking at his love, understanding it. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth, and your righteous hand is filled with righteousness. So meditating on God's love. And then fast forward to Psalm 92, there's just a formula there that I never noticed before, but the writer of this psalm, and it's for a Sabbath day, says this: proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. And I thought, you know, Lord, that's what I want to do this year. Every morning when I wake up, to proclaim your love first, not my aches and pains or my to-do list or whatever, your love. And then at night, review the day and just count God's faithfulness and how he was involved in the day, how he turned things around. So proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night.
Wow, talk about bookending the day with a faith perspective. That's so beautiful. Well, let's pause here. When we come back, I want you to talk to us about what's happening in Iran. I mean, I think we're almost getting used to just sensational news, but we shouldn't, because in the middle of that, God is in the midst of us, and he's moving. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. And there are things happening that we as God's people need to know about. Jesus himself asked us to intercede for our brothers and sisters around the world. And so what's happening to believers there is happening to us as a body of believers. So it's really important to know, so we can stand, we can pray, we can intercede, and we can trust that God is on his throne. More with Tom and Joanne Doyle in just a moment.
It ain't over yet, ain't over yet. So move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on. Move, keep walking until the morning comes. Move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on and lift your head. It ain't over yet, ain't over yet.
Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Talking to our friends Tom and Joanne Doyle. And they've got an amazing ministry to the Middle East. And you have so many high-level leaders, and Graham Lotz and others, quote them often in their books because they look to them as really the premier voices on what is Jesus doing in the Middle East. And their books, honestly, you can't put them down. They read like fast-paced novels. And I'm so grateful that we're giving away today a handful of copies of their book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. If you want a fresh faith perspective, you want to see how God is moving, you won't be able to put these books down, I'm telling you. So you can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So Tom, let's start with you. What's happening in Iran? How did this revolution or uprising start? And how is it still continuing in the face of a government that thrives on intimidation?
Yeah, well, you know, I think originally there was a young lady, Mahsa, who was arrested for not having her hijab on right, and they threw her in a car to take her up to prison. They really nailed her head as she got in the car, and then they get her, she gets to the hospital, and she ends up dying in the hospital, and that was the flip switch for the people. This is normal in Iran for punishing women, even if just a, you know, half an inch of their hair is being shown. They throw them in jail and they beat them. And so there's been a revolution against the hijab. And this just lit everybody up. 100 cities, people started to march and protest them, knowing that they could lose their lives. And it's been over 100 days. And so the government is backpedaling so much, Susie, at this point. It is teetering, the government of Iran. It could be overthrown.
Wow.
And the Ayatollah and the Ayatollahs under him have already made safe passage plans to go to Venezuela if the government's overthrown. That's how close it is. So this is major history. And, of course, in the Bible, this is Persia. So this is has a lot of biblical implications if this country is overthrown. But it's horrible what's happened to the women in Iran. And we've seen it up close. Joanna, she does flourish into Iran, and then me, as I've been there, it's just the treatment is horrific.
Wow. Joanna, you guys say that these Iranian people are pro-America, and they don't even detest Israel, but they're done with this enslaving government. I mean, I'm trying to imagine the kind of courage to be the generation that says we may lose our lives, but we don't want this for our future. I mean, it's unfathomable, the kind of courage that that's taking.
Absolutely. They have said enough. You know, Iran, we think of the government when we think of Iran, we really are picturing the government. They are anti-America. They are anti-Israel. But the people do not feel that way at all. As you just said, they are pro-American. They are pro-Israel, and they want freedom, especially the women. They are so tired of being forced to worship Allah. You know, really, Iran is a post-Islamic country. Most people are over Islam. They have nothing to do with Allah, and they're wanting truth. They're wanting answers. And so interesting with this revolution, it's not just the women. It went from the women down to the college students, and now it's even to the young girls. They have girls in elementary schools that are whipping off their hijabs and saying no more. So,
wow.
You know, the government really can't harm the children, or they know they're going to be in trouble with their families. So that's one of the reasons this protesting continues and really has turned into a revolution.
Wow. And you both have said this is a spiritual revolution. Talk about just the spiritual implications. Tom, I'll start with you there.
Yeah.
They, you know, just for all literal purposes are saying, we want something different, but God is doing something there. So what do
that's
you see?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? It reminds me of what America went through in the 60s. We had the anti-Vietnam protests. And then all of a sudden, what was born right after that, the Jesus Revolution, that whole desire to protest was turned into a great revolution for Jesus. And that's what we're praying for in Iran. It already is the fastest growing church per capita in the world. And the people are so sick of Islam. But that's what we're praying for, as a great spiritual revolution where the people realize it's not about anger, it's not about overthrowing the government per se, although that would help them, but it's about discovering the truth and finding Jesus, and many are doing that. Some of the stories we hear out of Iran, Joanne, can you tell that one about the woman on the bus? I mean, that's amazing.
Yes. Do you have time for a story, Susie?
You bet. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is an incredible story. This is a young woman named Fariba, and she, you know, drug addiction is a huge problem in Iran. She's been married for like 15, 20 years. She's got a teenage son, and her husband's addicted to drugs. So as she's making the money that she can make to try to keep food on the table, he takes it and goes spends it on drugs. So this woman, Fariba, becomes so depressed that she becomes suicidal. And very easy to get drugs there. She gets herself a bottle of pills that she carries around in her purse for several weeks. And every time she's discouraged, she just pulls out that bottle of pills and she stares at them thinking, you know, when should I take these? I'm worthless. You know, I shouldn't be alive. I've got no reason to live. I have no value. Those are the thoughts that are just the enemies just, you know, lying to her with. And so one day she gets on a bus, just a city bus, and she's sitting there, opens her purse, and she's staring at those pills. And isn't that so like Satan to get us so focused on death as opposed to life? So there she is staring at the pills, and then a woman sitting across her on the bus sees just how dejected she looks and how sad she looks. She walks over and she sits down next to Fariba, and she says, "Are you okay?" And Fariba just looks at her and doesn't say anything. And then this woman, who's a follower of Jesus, gives her a book. And this book is not a Bible, but it's a book written about every woman in the Bible. And she said, "Here, I want to give you this book." And Fariba says, no, I have no money. I can't buy this." And this woman says, "No, this is a gift. I want you to have it." And so then the bus stops, the woman gets off the bus, and Fariba's just sitting there stunned for a minute, just looking at this book, doesn't know what to do. She looks up, she sees the woman's gotten off the bus, and she follows her. She runs after her, and she says to her, "Stop, stop, stop." She said, "Did God send you to me?" And the woman, without missing a beat, said, "Yes. He sure did. He sent me to you today." And so they ended up sitting down on a park bench and talked for like 2 hours. And this woman told her how much Jesus loved her and that he had a plan for her life. And then before that conversation was over, this woman wrote her name and phone number in that book about women in the Bible and said, "Please read this. Call me sometime." And so Fariba goes home, you know, she sticks up that book in her purse, kind of forgets about it, but she gets home. And what's the first thing she does when she puts her purse down? She opens it up and she's looking for the pills. But instead of seeing the pills, she sees the book there. And Fariba said, "I picked it up out of my purse. I started reading that book." And she said, "I cried as I read page after page after page of women whose lives are written in the pages of scripture that she could relate to so many of them." And she saw how they became overcomers in Christ. She said, "I looked up when I finished reading the entire book and it was morning." And the first thing she did was to call this sweet woman. They ended up getting together, and this sweet, precious woman led Fariba to faith in Christ. And she said, as soon as she gave her life to Jesus, she no longer has thoughts for suicide. This woman has become a force for Christ. In fact, right now she's in the midst of, while these protests are going on, you know, people are helpless and hopeless and feeling, you know, so empowered for freedom, because for the first time, their desire for freedom is greater than their fear. But they still have no place to find hope. And so she is going out to the protesters and she is sharing the love of Jesus with them and telling them, hope is only found in Jesus. You need him if you want true freedom. So look how God takes our lowest moments and turns them around, first of all, to give us hope and then to pass that hope on to someone else. Because again, it's only found in salvation in Christ.
Wow. I even think of the courage of the woman on the bus, because her writing her name and her number implicates her. You know what I'm saying? So what if she were to get home and that husband were to pull the book out of the bag, and how often that happens, and yet she did it to make that connection. That's profound courage.
Isn't that amazing?
Is.
Again,
Don't you think, like, Fariba is asking a question, Joanne, that people that are desperate are asking around the world when someone reaches out and just shares the love of Christ? "Did God send you to me?" Yes, he did. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Tom, how do you see this revolution playing out? What's your gut sense about how this is all going to play out?
Well, I think, like, even today, an Iranian Revolutionary Guard, Qassam Fatida, was reportedly assassinated outside his house. So Was that someone in Iran? Was that Israel? We don't know how that happened. But just when they get to the edge of going over the precipice, the no return of being nuclear capable, it ends up that something like this happens. An official is killed, or a scientist, someone is killed. And so that just happened today. But I think that it's that the government will go down. The people on the ground, we've been there, they're not behind the government. They absolutely hate what's happening there. In fact, like Joanne talking about the Fariba going to the front lines, we know of a young man that was going and driving a pickup truck to the front lines in the different cities with bandages and things to help the people that were shot by the Iranian government, because they can't go to the hospital and they can't go to a doctor, or if they're found out, those people will go to jail with them. So they're just stuck. If they get wounded, they can't go in because they take them straight to jail. So this believer, this underground believer, just out of the kindness of his heart, was just buying bandages and everything at a local pharmacy, you know, whatever he could to go out there and help, first aid. And finally, this pharmacist stepped from behind the counter and said to him, "Why are you buying this every day? You're in here like every day." And the man just thought for a moment, he's a government spy. If I tell him, I'm probably going to go to jail. But he just felt the boldness of the Lord come over him, and he just thought, I'm going to tell him. And he said, "I'm going to the front lines, and I'm helping the Iranian people that are in great need." And this pharmacist said, "I have been praying for an opportunity to help. You tell me what you need, and I'll fill your truck each time. We'll get this out to the front lines."
Wow.
So these are brave people that are standing up against the evil. And spiritually, Susie, and just see the enemy behind it. This is God's chosen people. Iran is trying to get nuclear capable to fire at Israel. And then also, we know Israel would probably preemptive strike, at least respond. We know they would. And so in Iran, you've got the fastest growing church per capita in the world. Israel, you have God's chosen people, still has a plan for them. They need to be saved. This is like a double win for Satan. He's just trying to drag Iran into this and to fire at Israel, because it's absolute chaos in the kingdom of God.
And what if it ends up being a double loss for him? He overplayed his hand. And people had enough of it, you know. And you think about the groundswell, if that continues and continues, you know, they always say bullies are not that brave. They use intimidation until someone braver than them stands in the gap. And so we just really need to be praying about what's happening there, and that God would continue to guard and guide his people, and that as the groundswell happens, revival would come as well.
Amen.
You know, when we come back, my question for you is, because you mentioned that there's an unprecedented spiritual hunger even in the streets in Iran. I wonder why, given all that's going on in our own nation, isn't there a more noticeable spiritual hunger? You know, we're seeing God move. There is an increase. But why isn't there this all-out desperation for God? You know, I would love to know your thoughts, both of you, on that question. Talking to Tom and Joanne Doyle, and we'll be back in a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our precious friends, Tom and Joanne Doyle. If you've never read their books, you really want to. One of Tom's books is titled Standing in the Fire, Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times. Just like I said, they read like fast-paced novels, and I'm super excited to give away a handful of copies of the one they co-authored together, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. You literally have to remind yourself to breathe. These stories move so fast, and they're so miraculous the way God reaches Muslim people, because he loves them, leads them to to himself, or they risk their lives by turning to Jesus for salvation. So we love to get Tom and Joanne on a pretty regular basis to get us an update on the Middle East, a faith perspective on what's happening in the Middle East. And maybe you've heard the story of the woman who was not wearing her hijab correctly. Her hair was showing. She was arrested. They rough handled her and she died, and it ignited a groundswell. And now it's going on its 100th day of just a revolt of masses of people, men and women alike, which is amazing because of how women have been treated in the Middle East, protesting the government, saying enough with this already. And one of the questions I wondered, because you guys had said in some of your show notes that there's an unprecedented spiritual hunger in the streets in Iran right now. And Joanne, you even said, you know, so many people are done with Islam. You know, it might be an Islam nation, but not so much, that people are really kind of seeing that this is not the faith perspective they want to embrace. So given all of that, I'm wondering, given all that's going on in our nation, I'd love both your perspective on this. Why isn't there a more noticeable, desperate hunger for God? Is it the frog in boiling water? Because what's happening is just so unbelievable in our day. So where is the desperation in the streets in our nation? Joanne, I'll start with you.
You're right. It's desperation really that breeds that longing to know truth. And I think we have so much in our country, don't we? We're really not lacking for anything. We live lives of luxury. I think COVID kind of switched that a little bit for us. I'm sure we all notice when we go to the grocery store, go to buy something, some of the shelves are empty. You know, things are selectively unavailable for us. So we're getting a teeny, teeny, tiny taste of not being able to have access to things. But really, the rest of the world, that's the norm, you know. So life is more difficult for people living in unfree nations like Iran. So, you know, you combine that with religious restrictions and being forced to live a certain way and believe a certain way. So that breeds desperation. And we really not have that here in America. I do think we're getting closer to that point. You know, we again saw a little taste of it during the pandemic. We're starting to see more of our religious freedoms stolen from us, truly, which is so heartbreaking. And as much as that is so from the pit of hell, you know, God uses everything, right? And I do believe that we are going to see more desperation in America as more and more is taken away from us. Mm-hmm. But until we really get to the point that we are desperate, longing for truth, longing for freedom, people are just going to go their own way and do their own thing. And what it's done, which breaks our hearts, is it has brought so much disunity in our country. I mean, our nation has never been more disunified than it is now. And it's not just political. It's in the body of Christ as well. And so again, may what Satan means for evil, will God use it for good to bring all of us to the point of the desperation of embracing Christ the way that we really need to as his followers.
Oh, amen. What do you say, Tom? So good, Joanne. Thank you.
Oh, well, you know, I think about in America, there's not a desperation for God because Americans aren't really desperate for anything. But you never know when an event can change it. We may not have a Mahsa event like Iran where she's killed for not wearing her hijab correctly. But we did have something the other night where Damar Hamlin, a football player, was hit hard and had a cardiac arrest on the field in the middle of the game in Cincinnati, and they stopped. It was on ESPN. They just stopped, and the fans and the team was around him praying for him. It was like a shockwave went through America, and you know how people feel it's just so sketchy to even mention prayer or God or whatever. All of the announcers, Susie, were saying, we need to pray. And they were showing the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals on the field, and they're praying. And they're showing people in the stands. Joanne said, look at in the stands. People are in groups. They are praying. And there was a desperation. It was a holy desperation. Yeah. And then yesterday, I just thought, gosh, I haven't heard anything about the story. Let me just flip on ESPN. And there's an announcer, and his name is Dan Orlovsky, and he played in the NFL. And he was so overwhelmed with it, he decided to pray. And you know how these sports guys are, Susie. They can come on and argue about it. You live in Viking territory. Oh, the Vikings are great. Oh, they're terrible. And they go back and forth and all that. It's just all this division over things. And Dan looks at the camera and looks at his two co-hosts and says, I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for Damar Hamlin. And I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to pray. And he looked at his co-host. He said, I'm going to pray. Would that be okay? And they said, that'd be okay. And he said, okay. So I'm going to pray. Okay, I'm going to bow my head now. And they said, okay. And he prayed. And it was a beautiful prayer. And he looked up after a couple of minutes, and both woman and a man were the co-host, said, amen. And I thought, you know what? No ACLU trying to block that. Nobody calling in and complaining. They were desperate. And they're praying for this great young kid. It was beautiful to see.
Yeah, such a good point, because that was exactly what was on my mind. I am a huge football fan. I was watching that game. I started to weep when I saw him fall, and I'm pacing my living room, interceding for him and his mom and his family. And but seeing that, I mean, because the announcers were like, we have never seen anything like this. And then I saw that same clip of prayer from an ESPN announcer. You know, what's so interesting is so many of the other announcers are like, our prayers are with you. We got to pray. We got to pray. And Kev's like, everybody's talking about praying. When are one of these guys going to pray? And so when that happened, it was just so powerful. And they're, what are you going to say? Because it's not a last resort. And we sometimes leave it that way, but calling on God. And it really, the whole world seems like they're standing up and noticing. And may his kingdom come and his will be done in our midst.
And, and you know what, Susie? There has been, as far as we've seen, zero blowback for that.
Wow.
You know, it's like after 9/11, we're going to pray, and we're praying, and we're united. And it happened. It was just beautiful. And we thought, well, you know what? Maybe God's going to use an event like that to just wake up the slumbering body of Christ and to call people to faith.
Yeah, right. I've been praying for a miracle for... Go ahead, Joanne.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know, another thing, it shows you the power of one person. This is a 24-year-old young man who has this tragic accident. You know, we continue to intercede for his life. He's still on life support. I know last I heard, he's breathing 50%-ish on his own, but he's still on a ventilator. Last I heard, maybe that's changed by now. So he still needs our prayers. He's not out of the woods. He's still in critical condition. But the lesson that each one of us can take home is the power of that one person has. And God can use every single one of us. If you mentioned earlier, Susie, you know, bravery, if we will be brave and bold enough to share Jesus with others, to share where we find our hope, or when we meet someone that's desperate or hurting or they seem hopeless, you know, share with them where we have found our hope using our lips to proclaim truth. You know, that's going to, again, the power of one person can change someone's
life.
Yeah. So amazing. This dear listener texted in and says, I live in Cincinnati, was watching all of it. And she said, Facebook, watching all of Facebook are praying for him. It's amazing. It really is a mobilizing thing. And as a young man, you know, he was someone who just, he didn't come from I think one of the announcers said that he'd come from a tough neighborhood situation, and yet he was one who'd give back. He gave back toys to his community and was, you know, it is, the power of one is just so phenomenal. So, God in heaven, move in our midst. Yeah.
Yeah. And all the restraints just thrown off. I mean, I'm just looking at this list right now of some of the people praying. Kirk Cousins, your quarterback. Let's see, Kansas City quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. I mean, these are the biggest, brightest stars in the NFL, unashamedly praying and taking a public stand. It's just beautiful to see this.
Yeah. And really, I mean, I know this, I mean, we just trust God leads the direction of the conversation, but I'll say you look at the Bills players were weeping and hugging and instantly on their knees. Some went face down on the field, just face down before God, it seemed, you know, that they were just calling on, and the coaches and the sensitivity to everybody, even the opposing coach, the Bengals coach, it was really, I mean, to me, you know, there's a scripture that says better to go to a house of mourning than a house where there's a party. Because, you know, and I've thought about that a lot, because it's like in a house where there's a party, you sort of throw caution to the wind, you're numbing out what you're trying not to feel. But in a place of sobriety, suddenly life and death comes into view. And I am praying for a miracle for this young man.
Yes.
And I'm also praying that, you know, Kevin, I prayed that night that everyone would hug their loved ones. Everyone would think about eternity. Yeah. Everyone would realize that we don't have the kind of control we think we have. And Joanne, back to your point, we have so much in this nation. We go without so little, you know, click of a button, you know, we have what we want. So we're not used to desperation. But this should remind us we're all that desperate, right?
Right. Absolutely. And we don't know. Every breath we breathe is a gift. In fact, one of our daughters, Shanna, was showing us a little clip. And I don't know how long ago it was recorded, but it's Damar saying, and I don't even know the audience he's speaking to, but he's saying, you know, life is short. None of us know when something's going to happen that's going to take us out. So we need to embrace every moment in life. He says this not knowing that just, you know, short time later, he's going to be, you know, on life support. And so point taken, Susie, you know, again, every single breath we take is a gift from God. We do not know when we are going to stand face to face with Jesus. And so we need to be ready, but we also need to share that readiness with others so that they'll be ready too.
You know, I wonder, let's pray now, all three of us. Let's get some music if we can. And let's pray not only for Damar, but for everybody, that there would be an awakened desperation. I mean, I don't want us to be so lackadaisical because we're so blessed, you know. Maybe we'd see that, you know, you're blessed to be a blessing. If you've got freedoms, you've got provision, there are desperate people who need what you have. And so, Lord, awaken a fresh wonder and desperation. Yes, so, Tom, if we could start with you, pray for Damar as you feel led, but also pray for our nation.
Oh, Lord, we just lift up this young man, and I believe that he's a believer from some of the things that he said. And so we pray for him and his family. Would you just touch him and heal him? And Lord, would you use this for your glory? We never could have believed so many people are praying openly and not denying it on national television, and nobody was worried. It truly was a gift from you. But yet we know it's been very costly for Damar and his family. So we pray for healing. We pray for the body of Christ to just continue to lift him up, just like it says in Psalm 92, that planted in the house of the Lord, the believers, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Lord, may we just stay in that throne room and pray for him and pray for our country. Use this to turn it around, Father. We need it. We pray for revival. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, I agree. And I also pray for those people around the country that are watching as Damar walks through this and joining their hearts in prayer. So many are followers of Christ that are praying in one accord for his healing. And Lord, I pray for those who don't know you but are still calling out to you, that you would use the situation in Damar's life to open their eyes to their own mortality, that they will stop and they will find out how they can know you for all eternity, how they can know you as Savior and Lord, that they will call on you and ask you to forgive them for their sins and to come into their life and to be their personal Savior. Jesus, would you use Damar's life to bring many, many, many new souls into the kingdom of God? And we do pray for his miraculous healing. Thank you for those that were on the field giving him CPR exactly when he needed it, or he would be standing before you right now. Thank you for the medical staff. Continue to use them to rise him up to full health. And we cannot wait to see the testimony that he will have when he walks through the other side of this tragedy. Thank you that you use all things for your glory. And we trust that you will do this in Damar and his family's life. In Jesus' name.
Yes, God. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptation, Lord God. Deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forevermore. God, would your kingdom come and will be done in every life, God, here and around the world. And on behalf of my fellow believers in this nation, we beg your forgiveness, God, for pursuing the idols of comfort and ease and materialism and feeling so entitled to all these things that we've lost our sense of hunger and thirst and desperation. And yet so many are on the edges of eternity. Young and old are standing on the edges of eternity. Lord, I pray you to awaken a spiritual hunger in us, that we would feel such a desperation to be in your presence, to tremble at your word, to pray with holy hands lifted up, that we would become people who are absolutely ablaze with your love, with your faith, with your hope, that we want nothing more than to find joy in your presence and to live as people who are spoken for. And so, God, I pray revival, God, would flow across this land. Forgive us our sins, oh God. Forgive us all of our petty divisions, and for the deep divisions that are substantial, God. Bring truth, God. In a day where truth is thrown to the ground, your word says truth springs up from the ground and righteousness smiles down from heaven. There is a truth that sets men free, and may that truth set us free, God. God, we need you. We need you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would heal Damar right now. We just speak healing and life to his heart and his vessels and his systems. God, would you raise him back from the near death, God? This is such a critical injury. Bring him back to life and bring him back testifying to who you are. And I pray revival would spread through the NFL. Revival would spread through media. Revival would spread through this nation, God. Make us sorry for our sin and help us to know your love, that you made a way where there was no way. God, forgive us for shrugging our shoulders at the gift of your precious son. Today is the day of salvation. We don't know when you're coming and we don't know when we're dying. Sure. Today's the day. And I just pray there'd be an urgency, God, in each of our hearts to live for you, to speak for you, to love because of you, so that many would turn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. And amen.
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 Taking all my strength not to weep. It's just I grieve for this country and for this young man. But let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue. Listen to Faith Radio live or on demand no matter where you go. You can download the free Faith Radio app in your app store today. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I'm Susie Larson. Susie Larson Live, and we're talking to Tom and Joanne Doyle. And boy, the show took a turn I didn't expect, and I just appreciate you all so much that when I have to cry, I got to go to break and pull it back together again. But here we are. We've been talking about an update from the Middle East, and I asked the question, why is it that we do not see the desperation, the spiritual hunger in the U.S. that they see in the Middle East? Because, and Joanne was saying, because they don't have the freedoms we have. And we started to talk about Damar Hamlin and prayed for him. Please, let's continue to pray for him and his family and for this nation. But I wonder if you guys just have any further thoughts just about the things we've been talking about, anything that's come in your mind after we've interceded here.
I do. I've got a short story that happened to me in Tel Aviv, and it's an amazing thing that happened. We all know that Iran is ready to fire at Israel, right? Switching tracks here from Damar to Iran, the Iranian situation. And there was a young man named Amir that somehow got in touch with me on social media, and we talked, and over time he prayed to receive Christ in Tehran over social media with me. And I'm sending him things and kind of doing discipling. Well, anyway, I'm in Tel Aviv going to speak at a Jewish Messianic congregation. And literally, as the pastor is introducing me and saying some of those things, I get a social media text from Amir. And I said, you'll never guess where I am. I'm in Israel and about to speak at a church. And Amir sends this back, Susie. He says, can I speak to them? And I thought, oh my gosh, as a young believer, I hope this would be okay. And I said, well, okay. And so I got up there and he spoke to the congregation from Tehran. And here I'm in Israel. That could get him thrown in jail just for that if they found out. And he just said, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to know that Iranian believers love you. We're not like our government that hates you. We love you. And most of the people in Iran love you. And one day, my dream is that Persians and Jews can worship the Lord Jesus together in Jerusalem one day.
Wow.
That was what he said in the microphone. Put it through the microphone. There was stunned. There was silence. And then there was a standing ovation.
Wow. That's like the book of Acts. What you're saying just happened is what you read about in the book of Acts. That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? And you know what? That's exactly what we should expect in the kingdom of God. There's no divisions. There's no borders. We're one in Christ. And they got to see it and experience it and feel it from a country that is their sworn enemy, someone that is a shining light for Jesus there. It was a truly special moment.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I wonder, Joanne, how many of these dictator leaders and even leaders in certain forms of media that have just sort of such a strong agenda are parroting talking points that don't represent the masses. Like if we could really have a chance to love each other and hear each other, how different it might be. What are your thoughts?
Oh, certainly the case in our country, right? So we know if it's happening in our country, it definitely is happening in others. In fact, in Iran, totally, you know, the people there are post-Islamic, even though they portray the country as being very Islamic. So, yeah, it's sad. We don't have one government on this earth, I believe, that represents the people. And that won't happen until Isaiah 9 is fulfilled, when the government will rest on the shoulders
His
of
shoulders.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
are we out of time?
No, please go ahead. You got time for a story. I'd love to hear it.
Well, I was just thinking about how so many of these women back to Iran are protesting because they want freedom so desperately. But what they're really desperate for is freedom in Christ. And so for us, you know, we may be sitting here listening going, well, how do we make a difference? How do we help the people that are protesting in Iran? And the biggest thing we can do is intercede for their salvation. We can pray that the believers will rise up with a boldness to share with those who are protesting the truth of who Jesus is and where that hope can really be found. In fact, there was a famous actress, Taria al-Dusti, something like that. I'm sure I'm pronouncing her name wrong, but she's like really, really famous, one of the top actresses in Iran. And she was arrested, thrown in the prison, and she could be killed because she's been protesting. And this quote she says is powerful. She says, "I've inherited this courage from the women of my land who for years who have been living their lives every day with resistance. I will stay. I will not quit. I will stand with the families of the prisoners and the murdered and demand their rights. I will fight for my home. I will pay whatever it takes to stand up for my rights. And most importantly, I believe in what we are building together today." Well, that's bravery, but that's for, you know, just freedom in their society, which is definitely needed. I'm not, you know, that's so true. That's so right on. But what they're really looking for is eternal freedom in Christ. And so, again, friends listening, pray for Iranians, the believers in Iran, that they will boldly share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus, and so that people can find ultimate freedom in Christ Jesus.
Joanne, it does seem that because they are being so bold, but they maybe don't have a clear vision of what's on the other side of this. Right now they're facing down Goliath, but what after that? It seems their hearts would be prepared for bold, courageous Christians to say, can I cast even a bigger vision? You know, because I've been thinking of the disciples when Jesus came, they were looking for the overthrow of Rome. That's all they had their minds on. And he's like, think bigger, think deeper. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, wouldn't it be something if the Holy Spirit could come in like a flood and raise up these believers to say, let me cast a bigger vision for you? I mean, what? Do you get a sense that that's happening and could happen on a bigger scale?
I do. And Tom, I know you can speak into this. Bibles are flooding into Iran, which is incredible. And once the word of God gets into the hands of people, what does the Bible say? The truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, Tom, you want to speak into that? You can answer that than I can.
Craving the word of God. When we were there, I've been there a couple of times, Susie, smuggling Bibles in, and we have never seen a group of people more hungry, more eager to get a copy of God's word, asking for it. All of them covered Muslims, seeking to know the truth. They know they're not getting it from their government. They know they're not getting it at the mosque. And so the hunger for Bibles and God's word, I've never seen it that high in any place in the world. So we think Iran is poised to be the first Christian nation to go from Islam to become a Christian nation and send Iranian missionaries around the globe.
Wow.
Think about
especially
that.
That's the largest church per capita. I mean, we're just running out of time here, but would you say the spiritual hunger is greater in Iran than it is in Israel?
Yes, yes. Definitely.
Wow.
Yes.
So lots to pray about there.
And the dreams and visions. I mean, that is happening on a major scale in Iran, the dreams and the visions, Jesus appearing to them, showing them who he is.
Amen.
And you guys are making a trip, aren't you, soon?
We are. We're going to Israel to film. Joanne and I are going to be filming some of our stories from Women Who Risk and some of the other books with a top-notch studio, and we're going to be walking around Israel and shooting videos and that. So we're excited.
Wow. Wow, you'll have to come back and give us an update on how that goes. Well, we love and appreciate you both, and may the Lord Jesus himself surround you with his favor as with a shield. Thank you for all you're doing for the kingdom, guys. We love you.
Thank you, Susie. We love you so much. We're praying for you as well.
Thank you. Amen. And friends, I pray you found some encouragement here today. Love and appreciate you so much. Let's become powerful intercessors in the kingdom, every single one of us. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.